Now, get your Bibles out tonight. Tonight is a little more of a lesson, kind of concluding some things that we've been talking about. What is soul winning? Well, soul winning is a person that maybe has some knowledge of the Scriptures, at least the plan of salvation, going and telling someone that doesn't know. That's the simplest definition of soul winning. We talked about how to prepare for soul winning, both spiritually, mentally, and physically. And tonight we're going to talk about presenting the plan of salvation. I know we're going to talk a lot about presenting the plan. I think a good part of getting ready for that moment is praying and asking the Lord for an opportunity. And being open and aware of those opportunities. Some of you have ever, and just being honest, how many of you have had an opportunity to share the plan of salvation and missed it? Anybody ever like that? Man, isn't that one of the worst feelings ever? You just want to rewind the tape and go, here, I want to do that again. I mean, the Lord is gracious and maybe gives you a similar opportunity, but you just keep thinking about what could have or what should have and where it fell through on your end, right? And, oh, man, that's tough. So I guess even before we get to presenting the plan of salvation, making sure, again, how important it is that our hearts and minds are ready for that, attentive. You know, it's so important to walk in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the flesh, really the person we care most about is us. And we fail to take it into consideration that their soul's all around us. And soul winning is really obsolete if we are unaware of souls, yes? Salvation, listen now, salvation should lead to discipleship, right? When you get saved, you ought to get into a place and grow. It's beneficial to have someone come alongside and teach you the Scriptures. Discipleship should lead you back into evangelism. Say, what does that mean? Number one, to get saved. Number two, to understand a little bit of the Scriptures. And then there should be a natural, I need to go share this with somebody else. That's what the Bible says. As a not being ashamed of that. And we'll talk about that. Why don't we pray and we'll get into tonight's lesson. Heavenly Father, again, we need you. God, we are thankful for those faithful soul winners. Just hearing tonight, Mrs. K just how her care for those that don't know you. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for her boldness. And so many lives have been changed by that. Lord, thank you for the man that led me to Christ. And God, thank you for his family. And God, each of us have a story, someone similar like that. Lord, help us to be faithful soul winners. That when presented with the opportunity, that we would not back away or shy away, but we would be faithful and bold, courageous, and humble at the same time. Lord, bless the remainder of our service here tonight. Give us a burden for souls. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In presenting a plan of salvation, one of the important parts is to create a desire to hear the gospel. And one of the best ways to do that is by simply asking some important questions. Asking questions, and I know this may sound strange, but asking even permission to ask a question. May I ask you a question? And here you are, you're talking to someone, and as the conversation progresses, maybe you've talked about family, talked about occupation, even talked about religion a little bit, and now you're about to talk about the message. Hey, can I ask you a serious question? Maybe the conversation was a little lighter, a little humorous. Maybe you're talking about kids and telling stories about that. And here you are. Maybe it's someone that you have known for 20 years. Maybe just for 10 minutes. And that humor is now gone. And by asking a question like that, may I ask you a question, it creates a serious tone of what we're about to talk about. It's no longer sports and weather, no longer about family. But it's about to get personal. And understanding that, and understanding that question. Yesterday I was at a family thing, and man, we were praying, and it was an amazing circumstance. I was just sitting in my sister's living room, And we had some lost family, just family there, just spending time together. And my dad's cousin, so I don't know what that makes it to me. My second cousin, is that second cousin? Great cousin? I don't know. Anyways, and she says, Nick, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And she said, can I ask you a silly question? And to which I was about to say, just as long as you want a silly answer, like, sure, yeah, you know, like, that's just me. But, man, I'm so glad the Lord held back my tongue and I didn't answer my first way. And she asked me, she said, can I ask you a silly question? I said, sure. She said, what's the difference between Christian and Catholic? Whoa. I know. So I backed up and defined some terms. And for the next 10 or, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes or so, their captive audience, I'm sharing the plan of salvation. We got to answer, she asked the question, well, what do you think about the Pope? What do you think about Holy Communion? Why don't you? Baptism? And she's telling me the things that her church tells, and I'm showing her, or telling her, relaying from to her the scriptures. And not just her, but everybody in the room. Sarah came in, and she's like, whoa, he's preaching in there. And, right, isn't that what you said? And so she backed right out, but it started on the opposite end. Nick, can I ask you a question? Know what that did? It got my full attention. Know what I did? I was passing through the room. You know what I did? I pulled up a chair and sat down. Hey, I understand. This is when someone says, can I ask you a question? I understand that this isn't just off the cuff. This is maybe something that someone's been thinking about. So when you say that, it does the same thing. Can I ask you a question? It takes something from maybe something lighter and a little more familiar to all of a sudden it's going to get a little more serious here. And respect, and we'll talk about this again, but respect the response. You know what? I think I'm all set for today. At any moment when the conversation breaks down, Jacob, this is what we want to do. We want to leave it open for the next guy. And we've talked about that. We want to be courteous. We want to be polite. We don't want to grab him by the collar and say, hey, listen, this is your last chance. If you don't turn right now, you are going to, I can smell the flames. No, we're not doing that. We're going to respect it. We're going to respect it. Maybe a little push, but if that pushes back, okay, all right, thank you very much. I appreciate your time for the day. But if they say yes, a similar question I've asked many a times, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? If they say yes, you know what I like to say? If someone says yes, and say, I asked this question, can you tell me how? Yeah. Tell me. If they say no, then we can follow up with, would you like to know for sure that heaven will be your home when you die? Would you allow me a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you'll go to heaven? These questions create a desire or an opportunity because now you're not taking something that someone doesn't want to hear. Now we've gotten through a series of questions that they are open to. If I talk to someone that feels like they have some background in maybe the scriptures or church, just some of the phrasing and things, I'll say something like this. I'll say, you know what, let's do this. Let's reverse roles. And because if I'll ask them, how do you get to heaven? Oh, I know how to go to heaven. I say, okay, here, how about we do this? Imagine me at your door and you're coming to tell me how to get to heaven. What would you tell me? That's why I ask them. Tell me how to get to heaven. Well, you know, I mean, you just got to, and I can't tell you, more times, 95%. Well, you just got to do, you know, you got to do your best. And, you know, and all of a sudden it becomes a work thing. And I'm always very respectful. And again, you got to say, you know, that those are all good things. And then you can go right into the scriptures. But if you reverse those roles, you really want to understand, if someone, here's what we want to be careful of. We want to be careful that we not, if someone says that, oh, I'm Catholic or something, that we lump everybody into this belief system. You should talk to that individual. Even within our own church, right? If we asked, hey, what's a certain thought on a topic or something, hopefully through the scriptures we would be able to define those things. But maybe even within some parameters, we might have some somewhat different answers. Not everybody that goes to the Catholic Church is on their way to hell. So we got to be careful of that. Let's talk to the individual, right? Again, being considerate of their response. If the conversation begins to break down, be prepared, and this is the best thing. I had one in here. Hold on. A gospel track. I had one. It's in my little billfold in the truck. Be ready to give a gospel track. And you can leave it that way. We'll just pretend, all right? So, sir, can I tell you about Lord Jesus Christ? Say no.
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. What was your name again?
Isaiah,
I really appreciate your time. As I go, can I just leave you with something? This will have some of the verses that we talked about today in here. And there you are. And now he's got the gospel track in his hand. No conversation, but I left him with something. Because understand, it's not my words. It's the Holy Spirit of God working in someone's heart. And as I go and they close the door, and maybe they're proud, or maybe they just don't want to admit, or maybe they really are busy. But if the conversation ever breaks down and it starts going in a direction, or starts getting, hey, all of a sudden the dog's barking and the kid's crying and something's going on, the phone rings. Hey, you know what? I really appreciate your time. Can I just leave you with the gospel track? And then you can do that. Be prepared for that. Number one, in presenting the plan of salvation, do your best to create a desire to hear the gospel. And one of the best ways is just by asking questions. Asking questions. And be prepared for the answer. It's amazing. Would you like eternal life as a free gift? No, I'm all set. What? Like, you can't be like, you can't stay at the door or at someone's, even at your living room table or whatever it is. You're a fool. You're an idiot. Why would you not want, can't say that. You got to be considerate. And so you got to think through some of these things. Be careful when you ask a question. Think about the possible answers that could come up. Be prepared for a variety of responses. When talking about salvation, here are some responses of that I've heard so many times. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. In our area, around this way, for the most part, they're somewhat moral people, if you will. We live out in the middle of nowhere, and good people, they'd give you a tractor ride if you asked them. And, you know, I mean, that's just the kind of people that they are. And you break down in front of their house, they're out in front giving you a gallon or two of gas, helping you on your way, maybe even driving you somewhere, giving you a bite to eat. That's just the kind of the town we live in. That's the area that we live in. And unfortunately, they think doing good things will get them to heaven. Another response is, I'm good under the thought of I'm good enough. I've never done anything really bad, meaning I've never killed anybody. That's what that means. Or I do the very best I can. You'll hear this, I go to church. And I always say, oh, that's good. I'm glad you go to church. I ask what church they go to. It tells me something about just a direction maybe that I can take the conversation. Oh, I go to St. Pius's the 15th on Monroe. I said, great. Who's the priest over there now? Hey, honey, who's the priest at the church we went to that day? And it just tells me maybe they didn't go so much. I always try and make it, hey, we're not trying to take anybody from their church. I'm glad you go to church. I'm just here to tell you about the Lord and tell you about heaven. See, going to church isn't enough. We go to church because we are saved, not to get saved. So possible responses of, hey, I'm just good. I don't need what you got. Other responses that you might hear is that I'm bad. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. I've done too many bad things. Being good is too hard. For both these people, what we need to lovingly respond with is doing good works is not enough to get you in, and doing bad things is not enough to keep you out. Because the grace of God is what you need. Let's remember that. Hey, and talking to someone about salvation, don't fight what they're saying. Try and help move them as they're going that direction. Imagine, if you will, a boat in water, and it's going in a direction. If we try and stop a boat in water, that's hard to do. We just kind of got to take that boat and just guide it. I go to the Catholic Church every single Saturday. I've gone for the last 30 years. Man, that's great. I'm so glad you're faithful to that. You know what? We believe a lot of similar things. You know, the Bible does talk about Jesus and about the virgin birth and about heaven and hell. You know what we're doing? We're taking that boat. We got in and we're riding along, but we just grabbed a hold of the wheel.
Amen. Yep.
And said, so, you know what the Bible says, though? And then we start talking about salvation, and we start steering that boat. We didn't try and stop the boat. We just got in the boat and tried to steer it in the right direction. Helping people through that, lovingly inform the person. Doing good works is not the way to go to heaven. Another possible response you'll hear is fear. Fears of giving up what they want. I'm young and I want to have fun first. I'm telling you, I remember I was at a young college girl's apartment door. We were standing there talking to her and went through the whole plan of salvation. She says, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I'm having too much fun right now. And I don't want to give this up. I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want my family to be upset with me. Hey, you come to some doors that are, there's a different culture standing there. To make a decision for Christ would ostracize themselves. You have to understand that. How do we help them through that? Helping them understand that God is loving and kind and only wants what's best for them. You'll hear things like this: I don't have time right now. I have too much going on. I'll think about it. I'm just not ready yet. Hey, again, be courteous. Be considerate. Leaving the door open for the next person. Don't be offended or take it personally if the lost do not want to hear. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Our part is to go and tell them. Our job, Chris, is just to deliver the mail, right? What they do with it. And in that whole entire process, you don't know where you fit in. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but look at now. But God gave the increase. Remember that when they deny the gospel, it's not you they're denying. They're denying, Christ told us, it's not you, it's me that they're denying. And you might just have a little part in the whole thing. Your job is just to be a friendly ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and just pour a little water. Or you might be that one who came along a stalk of fruit that's been watered and cultivated for a number of years, and you're just the one that got to pick the fruit. In presenting the plan of salvation, go to Romans again, Romans chapter 3. These are verses that I think the first week I had you mark off. I want you to do this. As we read through these verses, we'll just follow through quickly through these verses. I want you to pay attention to some words now. Pay attention to some words that for you and I might be commonplace, that we hear regularly, but to someone that's lost, we might have to define, okay? So as we read these verses, there are going to be words that verses that we could quote, we understand from Scripture, but imagine not knowing the Scriptures at all. Pay attention to some of these words that we would, as we go through, would have to define. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, right? This is where we first go to show someone about salvation. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Go over to chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those two verses alone some words stand out to me. Anybody have a thought on maybe a word or two out of those verses that would feel like, hey, I need to better define this? Stephen, give me one. Come, maybe God's glory. What does that mean? To fall short of God's glory? Sure. Somebody else? Anybody else have a... Sin. That's a good one. Some people think, well, it's just a mistake. No. No, no. Now, depending on the person that you're talking to, depends on what you have to do with that. Do you understand what sin is? How about Romans 3:10? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what? For a lost person, you know what? They think, well, I do right. I mean, I speed a little. Right, slightly the wrong time on my time card, but I mean, come on, who doesn't do that? Well, let me define for you righteous in God's eyes. And that's what we have to do. So you and I may be very familiar with these terms. But when you're talking to someone, like Stephen said in verse 23, come short of the glory of God, and defining sin, the world doesn't understand what sin is. Hey, that's a holy offense, or offense against a holy God. This isn't just writing down the wrong answer on your math test. This is a serious thing that needs serious attention. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Again, maybe paying attention to some of these words that stand out to us. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, there's a bunch of words in there that stand out to us. Even, Stephen?
The gift of God is wonderful.
That's true. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So God's gift to us is eternal life.
You're right. You're right. And understanding that and helping someone through that, a word like the word wages, what does that mean? Even the word death there needs some definition. Well, I've sinned and I didn't drop dead. Oh, let me explain to you what that's talking about. But, you know what that is? That's a conjunction. That connects two thoughts together. But in contrast, man, you can go through that. Yeah, eternal life. What does that mean? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Go back to that verse. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Third word stands out to me. That's not a word you hear on the TV a lot. Commendeth. Not a lot of people saying that on YouTube. Commendeth. What does that mean? And as you go through these things, we rattle these things off and go, oh, you understand that? Uh-huh. And the person, just, you're like, do you understand what that means? And they're just like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And they have no idea what they're talking about. And they're just saying yes to get you off their back. But we need to define these things. Romans chapter 10. Go there. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the first answer or question is saved. What does that mean? Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of our sin. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are some words that we need to define. All good right now. All right. Saved. So that's what I'm saying. When you're going through these verses, there are even, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish. What's that talking about? We're going to have to take a few moments and make sure that those words, because what they think it means and what God means, how many of you have ever thought you understood a word only to have God define it for you? A good one is love, right? We thought I knew what love was until I read, love isn't selfish at all. And God defines terms for us. And as we present the plan of salvation, and as we go through these verses, we're going to have to be prepared to define some terms. Have illustrations, maybe. You know, go with me. This isn't in my notes, but Isaiah chapter Hold on. I think it's 58. No, hold on. 59. This is a great one to help understand. Behold, in verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And man, you can illustrate that real well. You know, here's you and here's God, and your sin comes in between there and pushes you two apart. And what you need is, the only way to get to back to him is through Jesus Christ. And these visual illustrations, and maybe you use the sidewalk. You stand over there, you stand on that side, and I'll stand on this side. And we can't reach each other. Why? Because that's like our sin. And you can do things like that. Visual illustrations are great right where you're at. Help define terms by doing that. Try and limit distractions. Find a quiet place. A place. And what I like to do when talking to someone is... So here we are in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And what did you say your name was?
Jacob.
Jacob. Can you read that verse for me? And I'll just have them read it. You know why? Because when they're reading it, they're not distracted. If I'm just talking to him, and I'm like, okay, the Bible says, as it is written, he's thinking, man, I got to get milk at the store. But if I can get him reading these verses, that helps him stay focused. And now he's saying it. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Jacob, what do you think that means? What do you think that word none means? Are you righteous? And we can personalize it. When he's reading the verses, or when she's reading the verses, all of a sudden it becomes very personal. They can't get away from that. Hey, tell me, Miss Opal, wonderful piano playing, but I need you to read verse 23. And there she is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She's reading that for herself. Maybe for the first time ever reading the scriptures, a book that she's been told her entire life that she can't read and understand. Now she's reading and the Holy Spirit of God is working inside her heart saying, that's you. It's powerful to have someone, maybe quiet place, to personally read those verses, to try and limit distractions, define the terms. Pray and ask God to lead you and help you and give you the words to say. When I walked into my sister's house yesterday, I was not expecting to have an opportunity to share the gospel. Although we prayed for it, I was not expecting it. And as I'm quoting verses, Lord, help me with these things. Help me present it in a spirit, in a way that, and as I'm speaking, I'm praying at the same time. Go with me to John chapter number 3. In verse 36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You don't have to apologize for the scriptures. We don't have to add to the offense either. We just let it say what it says. And then we ask, would you like to pray today and ask the Lord to save you from your sin? If they say no, okay, I appreciate your time. If there's anything I can ever do for you, do you have any other questions? Is there something that we went over that you didn't understand? Maybe that's why. But if they do and they ask the Lord to save them, do you understand that you don't have to come to church to do that? We can kneel right here. It's great to be able to kneel at this altar or maybe get cornered into a Sunday school room or whatever it is. Get yanked out of your own bed. No? All right. And then the Holy Spirit of God is working and that person asks the Lord to save them. Say, okay, well, good luck. See you in heaven. No, that all of a sudden, you now that I'm just letting you know you have somewhat of an obligation to help that person. Say, in what way? Well, let's go to John chapter number 10. When someone asks the Lord to save them, the first verse I go to after that is this. John 10:28 says this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's you. You just did that. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And I put my hand right out, and I put something inside my hand. And I say, that's like you, and God's holding this. And God says he's going to hold on to you forever. And there's nothing you can do to get out of that. Isn't that great news? Just assurance of salvation. Because their head's swirling right now. Maybe a great burden has been lifted, but I want to give them assurance that, hey, you're not going to walk out this door and say the wrong word, and all of a sudden that thing's gone. Assurance of salvation is really quite the foundation to grow as a Christian. Because if you don't understand that, and you feel like you just lost that, what you just did, because they don't know, man, you're going to be struggling to. So what can you do? You can encourage the new believer. John 1:12. Go there. John 1:12. We're almost done. John 1:12. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Man, what a blessing it is when someone asks the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And there's great joy in our hearts as someone asks the Lord to forgive them of their sin. Have joy over that thing. Be excited for them. Give them a Bible. That's a good... Hey, you know what? I don't have one with me. I can come by later today. I want to give you something. I have a brand new Bible. You know what? If you ever need one, we have extra ones here. Nice gift Bibles. They're nicer ones. They're nice. And we can write their name right in the front and give it to them. Encourage that person to read the Bible. Take them to the book of John and say, you know what, I would start right here. John chapter number 1. Read a chapter a day. Don't read any more. You know. Get their number. Try and follow up. Read 1 John. Take them, show them there. Put something right there. Encourage them to tell someone. That'll be helpful. And then do what you can to help them get into church. I want you to imagine in your own life getting saved and then never coming to church. That would be tough. It would be really tough to grow. Maybe some of you, that's your own story. Got saved 10 years ago and just never got into church, and now here I am and really been growing as of late. Well, that's great. Really encourage that person. Here's what you need to do. I'll pick you up Sunday, or we have a bus, or however. Or just like assume, now that you're saved, we'll see you in church on Sunday. Like, don't even give them an option. That seemed to work out good. If Demetrius was sitting here, I would tell you his story. He came and visited. He wouldn't mind if I told you. He's got a tremendous sense of humor, and so he's good with all this. So he lives like right around the corner, Mr. Demetrius, and he came and visited church, and he came in, and he, after the one of the couple services, he's like, "I would like to be baptized." I'm like, "Okay, all right, great." I said, "How about you come on in, and we'll sit and talk about it." And so after talking with him, realized he wasn't saved. So in my office, he got saved that day. Praise the Lord. Asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him in my office. Tears in his eyes. Fantastic. I said, all right, here's what we need to do. Come back this next week. And I gave him the first discipleship lesson. Like, I didn't even give him an option. I just told him, here's what we're doing. And because the third lesson is baptism. And so we went over assurance of salvation, understanding salvation, eternal security, and then we got to baptism. And when we went through the baptism thing, I said, and now I can help him with that, understanding the importance of being saved first and then baptized. And then I'm like, do you see that? And he goes, yeah, I didn't realize how much I needed before I got there. And we just went right through all the discipleship lessons. Didn't even ask them, just told them this is what we're doing. Man, that worked out really well. And that's what you can do with someone that you just lead to the Lord. All right, we'll see you in church on Sunday. But they don't know. Just tell them that's the best thing for. Is it not the best thing for someone, Isaiah? Yes, it is. Once they get saved, the best thing to do is to come to church, read a Bible, pray, talk to the Lord, and they're going to need a buddy along the way. They're going to need someone to help them along the way. Say, yeah, we'll just pray that someone, God sends somebody. That's you. Do your best. Do your best in trying to get them grounded in the Word of God. Say, I'm not that person. All right, pair them up with somebody. Tell me. I would gladly do that. In presenting the plan of salvation, tonight I think it would be wise that we just pray and ask the Lord. Say, God, give me the opportunity. Help me to create a desire to hear the gospel. Be prepared for a variety of responses. Some people think they're good and can work their way to heaven. Some people think they're so bad. I've heard this. If I walked into church, my feet would start on fire. I'm so wicked. I feel bad that someone thinks that they've gone so far that they couldn't even be saved. And I tell them, I said, sir, ma'am, you don't understand how good the grace of God is. Yeah. And people will give you excuses. They'll say, I'm afraid of giving up. I don't have enough time. Again, be prepared for these. But in presenting, don't forget to try and define those terms. Limit distractions, give some assurance, and try and encourage that new believer. We've had 5 children. Not one did we bring home from the hospital and say, all right, buddy, you are on your own. Good luck. How would they do? Not well. Maybe better. No, not well. No, that. What do they need? They need some guidance. They need some help along the way. Salvation isn't just a number or a notch in a belt. It's a real relationship with the Lord that needs guidance and dedication on your end. Salvation, discipleship, to what then will naturally lead back to evangelism and telling somebody else. That's the progression of the Christian life. Let's all stand. I know it wasn't about resurrection tonight, but because of the resurrection, we can tell people. How's that? Because of the resurrection. Appreciate you coming out tonight. I want to thank the Lord publicly just for my salvation and what God is doing around us. It's amazing to see God working. And I am thankful for that, Brother Sutliff. And God is great and good, to which I would say we are undeserving, but yet He still continues to show up and meet our needs. And I am thankful for that. Brother Sutliff, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight? Sure.